When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is something that is a part of you now. So you can't go back to the way it was before. You can only, you know, move in a new direction. And so recognizing that is going to be really important.
Hey, thanks for listening to We're Momming Today. If you're listening on a smart speaker or website, make sure to find me, Lauren Simonetti, on your favorite podcast platform like Apple Podcasts, Google, TuneIn, and Stitcher. And don't forget to leave me a review.
We're momming today about pregnancy loss, a very uncomfortable but all too common topic that women often choose to keep personal. But suddenly that has changed. I feel like it's changed overnight with Chrissy Teigen, the model, the author, sharing her loss publicly. I mean, even posted photos on social media. And it's really changing the conversation. We're joined by Maria Brand. She's a professor at Indiana University, and the focus of her study is women's health and ethical issues, and also the communication of them. Maria, it's good to have you.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate being here and talking about this very important issue.
Yeah, you know, I have had three miscarriages, and I don't really think I told many people, and I'm trying to figure out why. I think because they were early. It's just something we don't talk about.
You're absolutely correct. It is something that we don't talk about. And you know, you said something really important when you're not sure why you didn't tell anyone, but maybe it was because they were early. And if you look at our culture, we have this rule that we don't really talk about, but this rule that we don't tell people that we're pregnant until we get past that first trimester, because we think that's when it's safe. But by not telling people that we're pregnant, then we don't get to tell people then when we have a loss, and then we don't get to get that support that we need to help us manage our grief as we experience this loss. And so it's really interesting that this is, you know, one of the most common pregnancy complications that women experience. Up to 25% of women who are pregnant will have a miscarriage. And so while it's common for a lot of women, it's not common for each individual woman, right? So what I mean by that is, like, it's a unique experience. And, you know, I appreciate you sharing your experience by having three losses. Each loss was unique. Each experience that you had was unique, and we don't talk about it, and we need to be talking about it so we can provide support to women in the ways that they need it.
What is the best way to talk about it?
Honestly, when we're communicating with women who've experienced loss, I think the most important thing to communicate is just that you're there, right? You're there for the woman in any way that she needs. And so if you want to sit there and just let her cry or let her scream or whatever it might be, just let her know that you're there for her to feel what she's feeling. And every emotion that a woman feels as she's experiencing this loss is valid. And so validating that for her is important. It's also really important to validate the entire experience that this woman has lost, not just a baby, but she's lost her identity in some ways and her hopes and her dreams and expectations. And so it's important to acknowledge that. Very often, you know, I've done research talking with women about what is effective and ineffective to hear from people when they've experienced miscarriage. And very often people will say some hurtful things that they say in order to try to be supportive. And so they don't realize that it can be hurtful.
Like what?
Yeah. So trying to avoid saying things like, well, it just wasn't meant to be, or at least you weren't that far along, or it's probably for the best because there was something probably wrong with the baby, or things like that. And I think that when people say those things, they don't mean to be hurtful. They're trying to communicate, like, you know, things will get better and it's okay. But when you do that, you're really invalidating the loss that she's just experienced. This is a very real loss for women. And so instead of saying those types of things, instead of just saying things like, I'm here for you, you know, and just offering yourself, and whether they want you to provide emotional support or, you know, informational support, let me help you find information about a healthcare provider that can give you the care that you need. Or maybe it's some kind of instrumental support, like let's go out and, you know, eat a whole bucket of ice cream together, whatever it might be that the woman needs, just being there for those specific needs, because it's going to change by every woman.
But what if the woman tells herself that, well, at least I wasn't that far along, or in trying to make ourselves feel better, and also to understand that pregnancy is a risk at any stage. I mean, every time I've been pregnant, I've been nervous the entire time, up to delivery, because it can go any way. And, you know, we've been through that. We understand that. So, you know, you try to maybe talk yourself off the cliff.
Absolutely. And you know what? And that's fine if that works for the woman, for her to cope with the loss. And everyone copes with things differently. I think what's problematic is when someone else tries to project that onto the woman, right? If that's how a woman is choosing to cope, and she's thinking, well, you know, at least I wasn't full term and had a stillbirth, which is tragic as well. Then that's what's coping for her. And that's okay. I think what we always have to be aware of is that people grieve and cope in different ways, and finding effective ways, healthy ways to do that. So obviously I'm never going to condone going doing something unhealthy to yourself or your body or things like that. But being healthy mentally as well. And so what is it that you need to do to get through the loss, to get through the next day, to move forward with your life, is something that we want to encourage women to do.
What are resources available for women? Because the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says 1 in 100 pregnancies that are, you know, beyond the halfway mark is affected by a stillbirth. That's 24,000 babies stillborn each and every year. I don't know if that, I don't know how to gauge 24,000, if that's a lot nationally or not, but are there resources for those women and families?
Yeah. So, you know, using reputable and credible resources are going to be important, because, you know, even we've seen, like with the pandemic, all the misinformation that's surrounding just about every issue out there, any health issue out there right now. And this could be true with women who are experiencing miscarriage and stillbirths as well. So, you know, using things like the CDC and the World Health Organization is going to be important. I actually had the opportunity to present some research at a webinar just last week with a group called Life Perspectives, which is a non-political, non-religious organization that does offer these types of resources to women and families and healthcare providers who are experiencing loss and helping them to cope with it. And so it's an organization, if you look online, Life Perspectives, that is based in California, but they have a lot of really useful resources on their website to help people in managing and coping with loss.
Pregnancy loss isn't always so cut and dry. Oftentimes, the woman has to make a decision. You know, technology and science is so advanced. You go through one of your scans, your anatomical scans, and oh, there are these problems with the baby. And then you have to have a conversation with your partner and with your family. Can we overcome this? Can we deal with this? Can the baby survive a decent quality of life? How do those big decisions affect how women internalize whatever their decision is, if they have to make the decision to terminate that pregnancy?
Yeah, it is very complex, as you said. And so I think that being informed is one of the most useful things that a woman can do for herself. But like you said, there's still going to be uncertainty in a lot of different ways. And so making sure that you have a healthcare provider that you're comfortable with, that you can communicate your concerns with, is going to be important. Making sure that you have a support network, like you had mentioned, your partner or other friends or family members who can help you to kind of talk through the issues and help you really kind of weigh the pros and cons for your own life and your own family. I'm sorry,
go ahead. I'm just thinking, and fortunately I've never been in this situation, but I know people who have, where the obstacles to trying to keep that baby were so great, there would be no quality of life. Mm-hmm. And you have to deal with the guilt of your decision. Even if you know it was the right decision, you have to deal with that guilt. What do you say to those families?
You know, I really think that each woman and family has to decide, you know, what is best for them, and recognizing that the choice is not going to be easy, right? There are going to be a range of emotions that you might feel, whether that be guilt or sadness or even relief in some instances. And so I think really seeking out, a mental health provider or a support network person who can help you work through those issues. I feel for women who beat themselves up all the time on difficult decisions. And, you know, it's not a clean cut decision, like you've said, in some of these circumstances. And so women really have to surround themselves with a supportive environment that helps them to make the best decision for themselves.
One of my friends once told me, and she said she was guilty of this herself, always, you know, you meet a mom and her children at the park, and let's say one of the mothers only has one child, and that child, let's say they're five, so they're a little bit older, and saying, oh, is that your only one? Are you planning on having more? My friend had said to me, she always said that, didn't think anything of it. I say that, not thinking anything of it. And it's the worst possible thing that you can say to another woman, because you have no idea why she has one child. She might want one, but it is sometimes a lot deeper than that.
Yeah, that's so true. And for some reason, we just feel comfortable having those conversations with strangers we don't even know. You know, it's almost like we see a woman's pregnant belly and we feel compelled to touch it. We see a woman with a child playing, and then we automatically want to know about her family planning options and what she's going to be doing, and or why she only has the one child. And so it's kind of weird. We're so comfortable talking about that. But then if, say, that woman would disclose, oh, well, I can't have more children, or we've tried and we've lost them, then the conversation gets shut down, and people don't want to talk about that. They get very uncomfortable talking about that. And so I think we just have to be mindful of the things that we say. And, you know, I'm guilty of doing those types of things as well. So we often are just trying to engage in conversation. You know, we're at the park and let's pass the time by talking with another mom or something like that. But we really have to be kind of mindful and think about the choices that we make when we do initiate those conversations, and recognize that we don't know what's going on in other people's lives. And it could be something that is very hurtful for them.
Is there something valid to oversharing? Because I have to admit, when I saw on Instagram Chrissy Teigen's posts, and I was like, wow, why would she even think to take pictures of that personal moment? That was my initial reaction. I said, wow, I just can't imagine taking a picture of that. Yes, it's judgmental, but can you just explain what she, I know she wrote the beautiful essay about their decision, but I would not have thought of taking a picture of that moment.
Yeah. And again, this speaks to the uniqueness of the situation. I actually praise Chrissy Teigen for doing that, because I think what she's done is she's given people permission to communicate about their experiences. And so people see something like that and people have very different reactions. I mean, you know, I appreciate your honesty and your reaction to that as well. And so I think what we have to do is recognize people cope in different ways, like I'd mentioned before. And this is one way, like, she wanted to have record of this to go back and reflect and, you know, have this memory. You know, some women would choose not to do that. They wouldn't do that. But I do applaud her for, like, bringing it to our attention, because now more and more women, at least for, you know, the time being, are being a little more open about sharing their experiences. And even if a woman never shares her experience, at least she knows that there might potentially be more of a safe space to do that.
Yeah, it has worked. I've seen so many voices come forward because essentially in a very public way, she allowed them to, and she opened the door for that to happen. The other thing that we don't realize is that when, with any loss, but I think maybe more so for the losses that come later in the pregnancy, it's very difficult to overcome that. And to feel like yourself again, and to even explain it to your other children. Any advice for those mothers?
Yeah, so I really hate this term, and it's used so much right now when we're talking about COVID, for example, is like the new normal. But I think people understand that a little bit. And so I think what you have to realize, like, this is something that is a part of you now. So you can't go back to the way it was before. You can only, you know, move in a new direction. And so recognizing that is going to be really important when you think about your own experience and your own idea and moving forward. And then communicating that with other people, I think it's important to be honest. And you mentioned children, other children in the family. Like, obviously, you have to choose how much you disclose to anyone, whether that be your child, your partner, your family, your friends, you know, the public, whomever it might be. But with children, you know, recognizing how much did they know, how old are they, how cognitively mature are they in those types of things, but thinking about what you would want to share. And so, you know, I can give an example where I experienced a miscarriage. It was actually my first child. I since have two children. So this was actually before my children, you know, my living children actually exist. But one thing is I had a small stuffed animal that I had gotten when I had gotten pregnant that I had planned to give to that child. And I kept that and I kept it out and I kept it visible. So as my children, my living children here, as they age and they would see that from a very early age, they recognized that there was part of our family that wasn't there anymore. And so I would tell them a little bit each time that they would bring it up to me. I let them know age appropriately that, you know, they have a sibling that's no longer with us and that didn't make it into this world. And so I think that parents just need to be aware of and be there to support other people in the family, because it's not just the woman who experienced that loss. You know, it is her partner, it is her family. And so being aware of that as well.
Well, these are things we have to keep in mind. And I want to ask you, when Momming Today returns, how to communicate the fact that you're even pregnant with children, particularly young children. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Snapple. Welcome to the Snapple Market Auditory Experience. Close your eyes. Imagine you're walking into your neighborhood store. You make your way to the back and reach for your favorite Snapple flavor. You can't wait. You take a sip. Whoa, that's a lot of flavor. What flavor are you holding? Now open your eyes and check out Snapple.com to find ridiculously flavorful Snapple near you.
We're back on We're Momming Today with Maria Brand talking about the loss of a pregnancy. And, you know, I remember for my second child, I was so hesitant to tell my first because while she was still young, I thought she would understand and get excited. And then I didn't want to have to explain the chance that it didn't work out to her. Mm-hmm. It was easier for me just to not tell her. Mm-hmm. And I think that was the right decision in the end, because I didn't have to explain the loss to her. It's just as if it didn't happen. So I think it was better for her, maybe not for me, but certainly for her.
Yeah, and I think that's something that, especially when you're dealing with very young children, it can be very confusing, right? They don't understand maybe even what pregnancy is at that point, or that, you know, there's a baby in mommy's belly. That seems very confusing to some children, obviously, if they're very young. And then just to say, well, there's no longer a baby in the belly, that it doesn't make sense to a lot of children. So yeah, it's difficult to know, like giving strict guidelines of like when you should tell your young children or how you should tell them. But I think it's really important to be as honest as possible or as appropriate for their age. If you have told them that they're pregnant and they do know, and then you're no longer pregnant anymore, you know, communicating that with them and then really trying to help them understand. So assessing their understanding and let them experience whatever emotions they experience as well. I mean, it might be okay, and then they just run off and play, or it might be that they're very sad about that because they never got to meet their brother or sister, or they're sad because mommy's sad, or whatever. Let them experience their emotions as well and help walk that journey with them too.
And I think that's one of the reasons why women are so reluctant maybe to share news of a pregnancy in the beginning, because when people, especially close family members, start to get really excited about it, they inundate with questions, you know, right, or constant updates. And then, you know, the fear is, well, what happens when there's that negative update? And then you have to communicate that. So is it just easier to say nothing?
For some people, it is. Some people, it is just a lot easier because then they don't want to have to relive this or say this over and over again. Or if I've told, you know, if I posted on social media right now, do I just go back onto social media and say that I've had this loss? Like that seems a little impersonal. Or the fear of like people running into people in the grocery store, for example, and now they ask, you know, well, when's the baby due? And you have to tell them, well, I don't have, you know, I lost the baby, and that gets very awkward. And women in particular do a lot of managing of other people's emotions.
Yes.
Right? Just kind of constantly looking out for someone else. Like, I don't want this to be uncomfortable for them. I don't want to make it awkward for them. And we just do that. But we also have to be aware of and look about our own emotions. So think about what's easiest for you. And if you don't want to have to potentially deal with that, that's fine. But if you're excited and you want to tell people that you're pregnant, then you shouldn't have to feel like you have to wait to a certain point to do that. I mean, I keep saying this over and again, but it's just so different and unique for each woman. And I think we have to give women grace and just respect their decisions.
What do you say to women who, who've had trouble conceiving, who've had trouble keeping a baby, you know, and then they might see usually a younger person, someone in their 20s, you know, have one missed period and start telling the world that they're pregnant, and guilty as charged here. And I say to that younger woman, I said, I am so happy for you, but I encourage you to wait this out a little bit before you get your hopes up and tell the world, because there's a lot that can happen between now and 9 months from now. Is that bad on my part?
I wouldn't say that's bad. I think you're coming from a place of where you're wanting to, you know, protect that woman in a lot of ways, like letting her just know what realistically could happen. But at the same time, I think we do have to, you know, let the woman experience that excitement, let her know that it's okay to be excited, but and experience all those emotions. I think especially younger, newer moms, a lot of times are very excited about that prospect, and they want to tell the world. And it doesn't seem like it's going to happen to us, right? It doesn't seem possible. I would have never in a million years thought that I would be a person who would tell people that I had a miscarriage, right? I never thought that would happen to me. Why would that happen to me of all people, right? I'm a good person. I do what I'm supposed to do, take care of my body, those types of things. But so I think we just really have to, you know, support women where they are. If they want to be excited, let's be excited with them. But then, unfortunately, if something bad does happen and they have to grieve, we obviously don't want to go back and be like, told you shouldn't have said anything. We want to grieve with them, and we want to provide them with support.
Yeah, and I think the bottom line is, it's not easy. And
no.
I mean, how many people do we know who had like their first child? Everything was like simple and super easy according to the book, and then all of a sudden, that same person, that same woman, can't get pregnant, and then she goes through, you know, IVF, and then oh wow, it's not working. And, you know, the drama just piles on. How many times has that same woman said, you know, I was that naive person who just thought that this was all so easy and perfect, and now I've learned my lesson. It's not. And that changes the way that they relate to other people.
Absolutely. Yeah. When you experience something like this, you know, I've had a woman say something like, now I'm part of this secret society that I didn't know existed, right? Because there are so many women that have experienced it, and it changes you, and it changes how you talk about and communicate with other people about it.
I like that. The secret society that I didn't know existed, because anybody who's been through any trial and tribulation dealing with pregnancy knows that there's a lot of people out there. It's very common, and it is so not spoken about. And we're talking about it now, and it's something that you work on, and you're raising awareness. And I guess I learned it's different for everybody through this conversation.
It is. It's definitely different for everyone. But at the same time, just let's just be supportive of women. You know, it's, we go through so much. Let's just support each woman in the way that's going to, you know, validate her and her experience.
Maria, thank you so much for joining us. It's a tough topic to talk about. And thank you.
Thank you.
This is Jimmy Failla, inviting you to join me for Fox Across America, where we'll discuss every single one of the Democrats' dumb ideas. Just kidding. It's only a 3-hour show. Listen live at noon Eastern or get the podcast at foxacrossamerica.com.
Listen to the show ad-free on Fox News Podcast Plus, on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.